Chapter 20, Stalker. Life has many ways of testing a person's will, either by having nothing happen at all or by having everything happen all at once. Paulo Coelho. After Hassan's shift to Klaus' house, Nina and Evelyn visited Klaus, Hassan, and their kids. They wanted to talk to Hassan and Klaus in private. "We decided to have a baby, and we want Hassan to be the donor," Nina said. "What?" Hassan could not absorb the news at that moment. "We want you to be the father of our baby." "If you agree, of course." Evelyn reiterated what Nina had said to Hassan. "Why?" Hassan asked. "You are smart, sexy, and we want our kid to grow up to be like you," Nina replied. "In normal circumstances, I would say yes, but I cannot, sorry," Hassan refused the ladies. "Can you tell me why?" Evelyn asked. Hassan looked at Klaus. Klaus held Hassan's hand and said, "It's okay. What is going on?" Nina was confused about the situation. "Hassan has been diagnosed with HIV," Klaus disclosed the news about Hassan's health. "How did he get it?" Nina wanted to probe a little more about Hassan's disease. "From his ex," Klaus replied. "Does he have an undetectable viral load?" Evelyn asked. "Yes," Klaus replied. "I don't see a problem then." "Hassan, I am a doctor, and you don't need to be worried. You just gave us another reason to have your baby." Evelyn was readier than before. "Hassan, look at me," Nina said to Hassan. Hassan looked at Nina, and tears were forming in his eyes. She wiped his tears. "I don't want to see tears in your eyes," Nina said to Hassan. "It's settled then. I will come by tomorrow to take you to the fertility center to do some tests. Then we will take it from there. I hope our baby will have your eyes." Evelyn was excited. "Ladies, there is only one Hassan, and he is mine," Klaus showed his possessiveness for Hassan. "Don't be greedy, give us some," Nina said. "He is all mine," Klaus responded to Nina. "And Klaus, no sex for a week," Evelyn forbade Klaus from being too intimate with Hassan. "A week?" Klaus was certainly not ready for that news. "We need him to save some for us," Evelyn said to Klaus. "Are you okay with this?" Klaus asked Hassan. "We can touch, kiss and more," Hassan tried to offer Klaus some flexibility in intimacy. "That will be torture," Klaus disagreed. "You can wait, and I will do anything you want me to do," Hassan assured Klaus. "Anything? Are you trying to seduce me?" Klaus said to Hassan. "Just to tell you what is waiting for you," Hassan said. "Okay, ladies, we have a deal," Klaus agreed with the ladies. "Klaus, no offense. You are like a teenager," Evelyn said. "Klaus. We've never seen you like this," Nina agreed with Evelyn. "Hassan, can you check on the kids?" Klaus asked Hassan. "Okay," Hassan said and got up to leave. Hassan kissed Klaus and left the room. Klaus looked at Evelyn and Nina and started sharing his views about Hassan. "He is different from anyone I've ever met. He brings out the best in me, and I cannot lose him. He is my heaven. I know who I am deep down, and it took a long time for me to love myself, but I finally do. He entered my life and turned everything he touched into something extraordinary. I know what I bring to the table and what I'm capable of when I'm in love, but everything is different with him. Have you ever seen my kids this happy? The answer is no. He chose to be there for them, not to replace her. He repaired my broken family. So, excuse me if I am acting like a teenager with him and feed that hunger I have had for years now. That's why we chose him to be the father of our baby, and we want him to be involved in the baby's life," Evelyn said to Klaus. "Are you planning to marry him?" Nina asked Klaus. "I plan to propose to him after a few months," Klaus replied. "A few months?" Nina exclaimed. "I cannot wait for more. I want him to have my name." Klaus instead preferred to marry Hassan quickly. "I am happy for you," Evelyn said. "I told you. She would love him, Nina said to Klaus. I want to know more about him, Evelyn was eager to know Hassan more. He is brilliant, naturally apparent, wise, a gifted artist, and I love him, Klaus attributed to Hassan. What do you mean by a gifted artist? Evelyn asked. You should see his pictures and paintings, Klaus told Evelyn about Hassan's artwork. I'd like that, Evelyn said. You need to know that your baby will have three brothers and one sister, Klaus told Nina and Evelyn. We are counting on it, said Nina. 2 months later, Hassan woke up to a kiss from Klaus. He opened his eyes to see Klaus smiling. He smiled and kissed Klaus back. Good morning, Hassan greeted Klaus. Good morning, Klaus greeted Hassan back. Why are you up early? Hassan asked. I am just excited, Klaus replied. I can see that, will you love me even if I am very old? And would we have old people sex? What a question. I will love you, no matter what. I choose you for the rest of my life. I love you. Is there anything you want to tell me? Tonight, at dinner, I have something to tell you. Okay, then. Stop looking at me like that. Like what? Like I am your breakfast. Can I get some? Klaus bit his lip. I am all yours, Hassan smiled. Klaus and Hassan shared long passionate kisses. At that time, Bella entered the room with Adrian. She jumped on the bed and started to lick Hassan's face. Hey, he is mine, Klaus said. We are waiting for you downstairs, Adrian said. Everyone is up early. What is going on? We decided that today is for family, Klaus told Hassan. I will pretend to believe you, Hassan could not believe Klaus. Trust me, Klaus said. I love you. Adrian, we will be there soon, Hassan was happy. Klaus and Hassan washed their faces and brushed their teeth. Klaus went downstairs, Hassan stood in front of the mirror, and he looked at himself. What he was feeling, he could not understand. He was shuddered by mixed feelings. A warm tear fell from his eye. What is happening with me? Hassan was confused. He washed his face and walked downstairs anyway. Good morning, everyone. Hassan greeted everyone downstairs. Good morning. Everyone replied to Hassan. Maria was preparing the juice. She turned around and looked at Hassan, she suddenly dropped the liquid on the ground, and the juice pot was broken into pieces. Are you okay? Hassan asked Maria. I am okay. I will clean it, Maria replied. No, have a seat. I will clean it. Nobody moves, Hassan said. Hassan began cleaning, and Maria sat on a chair, watching Hassan. She and the others around him saw Lizzie. It was the day, she knew. But she couldn't do anything, and she wanted to stop what were to happen next. She felt somebody tightly squish her heart. She didn't know what she should do. Edward felt his mother's presence, but his feelings could not be understood. While Hassan cleaned up, Peyton started crying all of a sudden, I will take care of her, said Hassan. You are a saint, said Charlie to Hassan. Hassan took Peyton between his hands and fed her. Charlie looked at her father, you look weird today. Charlie said. Tonight, I will ask him to marry me, Klaus told everyone. Oh, my God. I am so happy for you, Charlie said. Try to keep it down, Klaus told her to lower it down so that Hassan could not hear it. It's a happy day, Edward said in joy. Yes. Adrian was joyous as well. Maria, do you have anything to say? Klaus asked Maria. You both look perfect together, and I am happy for you. Finally, Maria gave her well wishes to Klaus. He doesn't know, and I'd like to keep it that way, Klaus told Maria. We will make sure of it, Charlie assured her father. I need help from all of you. Also, the gang will be here today, Klaus informed everyone about the arrival of Hassan's friends. Stop calling them that. Charlie was not happy with her father's remarks. That's what Hassan calls them, Klaus justified. I agree with him, Edward supported his father. He is coming. Act natural, Klaus said. I've fed her and put her to sleep, Hassan said to Charlie. You are a saint, Charlie praised Hassan once again. You are welcome. So, what do you want to do about dinner? Hassan asked Klaus. We planned everything. We just need you to be there, Klaus answered Hassan. Okay. Hassan nodded. The whole gang will be here, Charlie used the same word for Hassan's friends as her father did. Also, Anton, Nina, Evelyn and my parents, Klaus informed everyone of the guests for dinner. Grandma and Grandpa will be here too? Adrian was excited to hear about his grandparents coming over for dinner. Is there anything you need to tell me? Hassan asked. It will be a family dinner, a celebration of our big family, Edward said with a big smile on his face. You mean, our huge family, Charlie rectified Edward. I've always wanted a big family, Hassan said. Your wish came true, said Klaus. Indeed, Hassan agreed with Klaus. Have a seat and eat something, Klaus said to Hassan. Okay. After breakfast, I will go to the restaurant to check on how things are there, and I have to go to the pharmacy to pick up my meds, Hassan said. Take your time, Klaus smiled. You look weird today, Hassan looked at Klaus strangely. I am happy, Klaus justified his expression. After Hassan left, Klaus started preparing all his plans with the help of the children. He also asked Kara, Andrew, and Ethan for assistance. Hassan worked for hours at the restaurant. The time passed so quickly, and he didn't notice. Klaus called him to tell him that they were all expecting him. Hassan replied, I have to go to the pharmacy to pick up my meds. Hassan quickly left for the pharmacy. On his way, he felt being watched by someone. He entered the pharmacy, collected his medicines, and left. He felt someone looking at him every minute. He continued to walk, but he was panting. He wasn't able to understand why he was. Finally, he stopped and turned, but he saw something that made him realize why he got that feeling. He shut his eyes, and it was all dark he saw afterward. Hassan said he'd go to the pharmacy 2 hours ago. Klaus was worried, broken, and wept as he was concerned. Did any one of you tell him? Klaus said. No one told him anything, Andrew denied. He will be here soon, John was sure of Hassan's return. Can anyone call him? Valerie asked. Klaus called Hassan, and someone answered. Who am I talking to? Klaus asked. I am Jason, an officer of Toronto PD. Do you know the phone owner? A police officer asked Klaus. I am his fiancée. What is happening? Is he okay? Klaus was starting to panic. As the officer talked to him, everybody looked at Klaus. He sighed for a long time, and tears started falling from his eyes. He threw the phone in his hand. Andrew took Klaus' telephone and spoke with the policeman. Andrew began to cry after he ended the call. Someone tell us what is going on. Kara was anxious. Hassan has been kidnapped, and the people who saw the incident reported it to the police. They found his phone, Andrew broke the news to everyone. Are you serious? Ethan could not believe what he heard. He is gone, Klaus started crying. He won't leave us. He will get back to us, Edward started crying as well. Valerie hugged Edward and said, he will. Adrian was also crying, so Kara hugged him. Everyone was under the shock of the news. But why? Who could have done it? Pete sobbed. Everybody cried. Nobody had seen it coming. What was supposed to be a good day had taken an unexpected turn. 10 minutes ago, the house was full of delight and joy, but suddenly, sorrow and tears took over. Nobody said a word for a while. Klaus' heart was broken, but there was no way out of it this time. There was never going to be the same family again. He walked to Andrew and yelled, "I want him back." Andrew wiped his tears and said, "We will look everywhere for him. We will find him." Andrew looked at everyone and yelled, "What are you waiting for? We need to start searching for him."
"We are all ready to do anything for him," John said.
"We need to divide into groups, and each group will search in a place," Nina told everyone.
"Valerie, Dennis, Evelyn and Charlie, you will stay here with the kids," Ethan said.
"I will go with Nicholas."
Kara with Kyle, Pete with Ethan, Tristan with David, John with Carlos and Nina with Anton.
"We will meet here after hours. I will never rest till I find him."
Andrew went with Klaus to the police station. Klaus was unable to stop his tears and control his sentiments. He did not know what to do.
"We have to find him as soon as possible, otherwise, we will lose him forever," Andrew said to Klaus.
"Don't you think I already know that?" Klaus said in anger.
"You don't understand. If he doesn't take his medication, that is the end of him," Andrew replied.
"Why is this happening to us?"
Klaus was furious.
"We have to put his picture on every news later, social media and everywhere," Andrew tried to maintain his composure.
After hours of searching, they came back home.
They found nothing.
"Nicholas, I used your laptop to do something.
I used all the pictures you have of Hassan on your OneDrive," Evelyn had come up with a solution while everyone was busy searching for Hassan.
"What?"
Klaus didn't get what Evelyn said.
"I created a website to help find Hassan.
I posted all pictures of you with him.
We have many people who will support you.
But now you have to talk to them through a video and explain your feelings to them," Evelyn said.
"That is a good idea," Andrew liked Evelyn's effort.
"It's like having an army searching for him with us," Ethan said.
"We need to find him, and I am with you," so Pete joined the whole team to find Hassan.
"We will use everything we have to find him.
I will not stay here doing nothing.
He is my dad," Charlie was crying.
"We will find him," Edward could not hold his tears.
"How can I help?"
Maria asked.
"You take care of the kids for him," Andrew said to Maria.
"I don't know what to say," Klaus was speechless.
"He is not just a friend.
He is family," said Tristan.
"He always says, we don't give up on family.
So, we won't give up on him," Andrew said.
"We need to find him before it is too late," Kara said to everyone.
"What do you mean?"
Kyle asked.
"Without his med, that could weaken his immune system, and he could become sick," Carlos said.
"We will find him," Valerie remained positive.
"Son, we are all with you," Dennis assured his son.
"We will find him.
It's just a big dark cloud, and it will pass." Klaus was optimistic about finding Hassan back too.
"What did you say?
A dark cloud?"
Andrew was panting.
"That's what Lizzie told me," Klaus said.
"Who is Lizzie?" Unfortunately, Andrew was not acquainted with Klaus' life.
"My wife," Klaus said to Andrew.
"Your dead wife told you about the dark cloud?" Andrew asked Klaus.
"Are you all right?"
Kara asked.
"He will come back, but he will not be himself," Andrew said.
"What do you mean?"
Ethan was confused about what Andrew said.
Hassan had a dream about his father telling him about a dark cloud will come and destroy him, and he won't be himself until.
Andrew told everyone in detail about what happened.
"Until what?"
Klaus asked.
"Until he will give up on himself," Andrew replied to Klaus.
"And what will happen next?"
Charlie asked.
"He didn't tell me," Andrew was clueless about the way forward.
"He will back to normal.
He is not alone, Lizzie and his family are with him," Maria joined the discussion.
Everybody left after an hour, and Klaus kept speaking with people on Evelyn's website.
He talked to 1,000 people.
Finally, Klaus shut down his computer and went to his room.
He saw Hassan waiting for him when he opened the door.
"You are here.
I was worried about you," Klaus said.
Klaus held Hassan's hand. When Klaus saw Hassan wearing pajamas, he smiled. He walked between the candles, Hassan was not finished as Klaus held his hand. In complete silence, Hassan and Klaus began to dance. Klaus looked at Hassan's face. They were swinging and turning. Klaus forgot everything, for he was in Hassan's arms. All he ever thought was, "I am in heaven." Klaus smiled and turned around. He stopped when he saw himself in the mirror. "This isn't real," Klaus said to himself. He fell on his knees, looked at the sky through the window, "God, if you can hear me, please return him to me. To us, to his family. I won't ask for much, just return him to me, please. I can't live without him. I don't know how to live without him. Please, God," Klaus said. Hassan began waking up. But he could not see. He realized that he couldn't see despite opening his eyes. That's when he felt a blindfold. He couldn't speak or move his mouth because his mouth was like a duck type. On his neck, arm, body, and legs, he felt a cold metal chain. He was chained to a pole behind his back, but the bar could move, and his feet had no ground. He felt fresh air flowing beneath his feet. He was scoffing, "This couldn't. No, no," Hassan told himself. He felt something in his ears, but he couldn't figure it out. Somebody spoke suddenly and Hassan immediately recognized it was a voice changer tool. The voice, "Hi, Hassan. You are awake now, and you are about to face your fears one by one. You are alone, and no one is here for you. You need to do it all by yourself. You are chained to a wooden pole at a specific height. You might think I am insane, but I am a genius. Now you need to stay in this situation for the whole night. Don't try to move much, or you will fall. If you care about your family and Klaus, you need to stay alive. And one more thing, I gave you your daily medication as you are supposed to, and I will give it to you every day at the same time. This is because I have a heart, and I want you alive." Hassan was freaking out and attempting to move his body randomly. But he couldn't make a sound. He tried to cry and wept. Finally, his eyes were closed, and images of Klaus were seen. "This will kill me, and I cannot stand again. Is this written on my forehead like death? I don't know what to do, but this can't be my end. Klaus, I love you, and I am sorry if I couldn't make it." Hassan remained up for hours and tried to relax, but he couldn't. For a while, he closed his eyes, waking up to fall in fear. Three of his fears together was a living hell for him to live. What was this type of mind game? Something he recalled. "This is what happened with Oliver. Is it possible? How did he find me? Is Brian with him? I don't know what to believe right now, but all I know is that I am the next victim of a madman. I have to choose to live with my fears for the rest of my life or die here," Hassan told himself. There were thousands of thoughts, but he couldn't focus on anything right now. He was scared, dying on his skin. Since he was only in his underwear, he was cold, but he could feel himself sweating. He felt the sweat drops moving down to his legs. He wanted to hear where he was, but he couldn't hear anything because of the AirPods and tape. He fell asleep as his thoughts crowded his mind. Then, as he thought he had fallen into the water, he woke up frightened. The voice, "Relax, it's just water to wake you up." Hassan could feel his feet on the ground. He was happy. The voice, "Now, it's time to take a shower. Be a good boy and don't try to do anything stupid, or you will find the people you love next to you." Someone was removing the blindfold and as Hassan was finally able to see, he saw Brian in front of him. Hassan was panting. Brian removed the tape from Hassan's mouth. Hassan could not believe what he was seeing. Brian was chaining him to the washroom now. The wall chains were stabilized so Hassan could not move. Brian hugged Hassan from the back and wept. "I don't understand,
Hassan said to himself. Brian began washing Hassan's body. Peculiarly, Brian moved his hand on Hassan's back. Hassan couldn't tell what Brian was trying to do. Hassan shut his eyes and focused on his body. He was weeping hysterically now. "Let me just go," shouted Hassan. The voice, "Who do you want to be next to you? Pete or Andrew?" "I will do whatever you want me to do," Hassan was in tears. The voice, "Good boy. You need to eat to keep your energy." Hassan did not have any choice but to comply with the will of the madman. His veins were in immeasurable pain, he could feel his body burning. He was breathing heavily. As Brian kept crying, Hassan walked away. Hassan looked down at his legs and saw the chain. As he looked in front of him, he saw a faceless person chained and the man next to him was wearing all black. He put the sword on the chained man's neck. Brian stopped to stable the chain in hooks on the wall. Brian started to feed Hassan, but Hassan's eyes were fixed on the faceless man and the executioner with a sword on the faceless man's neck. Hassan had no choice but to swallow his food, tears were falling like a waterfall from Hassan's eyes. The executioner moved his sword and separated the faceless man's head from his body. Hassan stopped chewing his food, looked at Brian with his eyes full of tears. Brian wiped Hassan's tears, put his head on Hassan's chest and cried. Hassan's tears didn't stop. Brian fell on his knees and wrapped his hands around Hassan's body and cried. Hassan saw the faceless man's head rolling on the ground. He looked at the head, and he could picture his face. Hassan closed his eyes, then opened them again to see his wrecked house and his sister's hand between the rubble. Hassan couldn't live with the excruciating pain of losing everything once again. Yet, his world was crumbling in front of his eyes, and he could do nothing to stop it. This time, he couldn't find the strength to go through the same pain. He took a deep long sigh and wished his heart could stop beating so that everything would finally end. He felt his eyes closing, and he wasn't able to open them. It could be the end. "Well, I am too tired to carry on with all that pain," Hassan said, and then he fainted. Early on, Maria woke up, lit a candle, and began to pray to God for Hassan, his protection and safety. She took Hassan's photograph and held it close to her heart. Her tears fell silently out of her eyes. She saw Hassan's pictures floating in the air. With a sad smile, she looked at every picture. She went through all those images and tried to reach him, but she could not. Finally, she stopped spinning and took a long sigh, holding his picture close to her heart, closing her eyes. She then opened her eyes, kissed Hassan's photo, and placed it on the bedside table. The door was gone, and the light was turned off. Throughout the night, Klaus couldn't sleep. He was swiping through photos of him and Hassan on his phone. Hassan was smiling in all the pictures. Finally, he stopped on his favorite shot. He zoomed in on it and kissed the picture. A river of tears started flowing down Klaus' face. He placed his phone on his heart. He had a vivid memory of the first time Hassan said, "I love you," to him. He looked up and walked toward the window. He laid his head over the window, and cried tears over his joyful memories and endless love. He felt that incredible feeling and somebody's presence in the room. Lizzie stood behind him and held his back while Hassan's father put a hand on his shoulder. "I want him back. I can't live without him," Klaus said. Andrew looked at one of the paintings of Hassan. In that painting, Hassan had covered his eye with his arm. He always hated that painting because he considered it too strange. With one hand, he held out the painting and, with the other hand, touched it. His tears went free from his eyes. He went back to his room and sat on the table next to his bed, where he put Hassan's painting. Then he watched Mike's painting around the room. He held the painting in his hands, and he spoke to it, "He's not here. He needs your help. He needs your assistance. All of us need your assistance. I don't know if I can move on. He's my family.
Pete and Ethan entered the room as Andrew had left the door open. With tears in his eyes, Pete hugged Andrew. Andrew was held back by Ethan. There were no words, only the sound of their silence and desperate tears as they prayed for Hassan's safe return. Overnight, Kara and Kyle escaped the sorrow by sex. They used sex to run the unbearable pain and the burning fire through their veins. When they were done, Kara put her head on the pillow, looked up at the ceiling, and then collapsed. "He is gone," Kyle said while holding Kara's hand. "He's gone," with tears. Kara said, "I can't breathe." Kyle held Kara between his arms. Tristan looked at his dad's image on the stand next to his bed, and his pillow was wet by his tears. He got up and went to the window and saw Hassan running in the courtyard, laughing. Then he fell, and Tristan sat on his legs to prevent him from moving. "Give me my phone," Tristan had said. "Not before you tell me everything, and I mean everything," Hassan said. Tristan looked at the sky with eyes full of tears, said, "I can't lose them both. One hit was enough for pain, another one will end me." Adrian hugged Bella and couldn't move from his bed. "Pray with me that my dad comes home. I miss him a lot." The voice, "Are you ready?" Hassan did not even try to move. Hassan saw Brian silently crying. Brian had bent his blindfold and moved Hassan so that he could stabilize chains on the hooks of the wall. The scent of men stuck in Hassan's head. This perfume was a sign of suffering, torture, tears, fear, and obscurity. He felt that the darkness was near him and that it was about to touch him. Hassan felt something cold, like metal and sharp, on his back. It was a sharp object, he realized. He tried to move and shout, but he couldn't. He began to move his body to prevent the intense feeling of that object. Hassan's skin was cut. He bled, but his fears had frozen his body. In a desperate effort to gain his stolen freedom, he tried to release himself. He stopped when he heard his right shoulder pop. He felt the pain burning in his shoulder. The worst pain is when your freedom is stolen, and the people you love are taken from you. At that moment, Hassan wanted his heart to be destroyed and finish it all. He took a long sigh and flew with wounded wings. The darkness suddenly stopped, and felt Brian's hands on his body. He tried to treat Hassan's wounds but couldn't. Then Hassan was still hanging in the air. He was exhausted and in pain. Soon, he felt like he was being moved down from the hanging position. Brian opened the blindfold and removed the tape when he reached the ground. "It's time for your meds," said Brian. "I don't want to take it. Let me die," said Hassan in a voice full of pain. "He is not here, but he has cameras everywhere. You need to take your meds not only for yourself but for Klaus. I promise you I will find a way to save you," Brian assured Hassan. "He will kill you," Hassan replied to Brian. "I was dead a long time ago, and I can't forgive myself for what I have done to you. So, please take your meds." Brian was in tears. Hassan took his meds. Brian hugged him. "I love you, and I know you still have the Amazonite I gave you. Please keep it to remember me after I am gone, and take care of my sister," Brian said. "I can't," Hassan said to Brian. "No, you can. You are Hassan." Brian was confident of Hassan. Brian kissed Hassan and wiped his tears. "Every time I touch you, I cause you more pain. Every time I touch you and your will has been taken away from you. If I could go back in time, I would do everything differently. Now I have to save you, but you have to fight." "I can't. This is my last fall. You are a freaking warrior. No one can defeat you. I will save you, but I need more time. I will find a way to save you, so you will return to Klaus and your kids and family. Please don't break them. And if my sister had a child, don't let him become me. Love him like he is your own kid. What about you? What about me? Don't worry about me, I will finally be free from all that pain. It would be enough if you remembered me."
I will always remember you. One more thing, please forgive me. I hurt you so much. And I stole one of your paintings. I already forgave you. I hope you don't mind kissing you.
Brian kissed Hassan on his lips, then took a long sigh.
I love you, Brian said and walked away. Klaus didn't leave his room, eat or rest. So Valerie and Dennis went to his room to check on him.
You need to eat, Valerie tried to convince Klaus.
I have no appetite, Klaus denied.
You need to keep your strength, Dennis tried to buck up his son.
I want him back, Klaus shouted.
I can't stand doing nothing, watching you destroying and killing yourself, Valerie was worried about Klaus.
I love him, Klaus was in tears.
Do you think you are doing good by doing this?
He repaired your family.
Please don't destroy what he built with you.
He will back, I am sure, Valerie motivated Klaus.
How do you know?
Klaus asked his mother.
You have never loved anyone this much.
Your love is pure, and God knows it.
He will back here in this house within no time, Valerie said.
Your kids need you, said Dennis.
And they need him, Klaus replied.
And he needs you, Dennis said.
He needs me.
Klaus agreed.
He needs you to be strong to pass this rough patch, so Dennis kept on motivating Klaus.
Klaus went downstairs and looked at his kids.
It is time to have dinner, Klaus said.
I cannot eat, Charlie refused.
We all will sit and have dinner as we always do when he was here.
Nothing will change until he comes back.
Am I clear?
Klaus tried to bring everyone around.
Everyone sat around the table and began to eat.
Each of them was looking at the chair Hassan used to sit on. Nobody could fill his absence that had left an enormous space in their lives.